Wow, because the tomb is empty, I can go right to God's throne and find help, tell him my hurts, and know that he hears me no matter what I ask for. Welcome to Encounter Life Church. I am Pastor Dwayne McKinney here. I'm the lead pastor at Encounter Life. And I just want to say, let me say, if somebody hadn't already said it, Happy Resurrection Sunday. Listen, guys, we are excited today because this is the day that we celebrate our Savior rising from the grave to be able to make us right with God. This is an amazing day. And all over the world, all over the country right now, people are gathering in homes. People are gathering in different places to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this year is a year like none other where we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, very different. I'm at home. If you can tell, I'm in my home office right now, not in church because of what's going on in our world. And as I was thinking about that, you know, it can be kind of a little sad at first. Like, man, you're looking forward to Easter and the church is being full on Easter and all of us gathering together for Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday is one of the most highly attended Sundays for churches in the calendar year. But this year, most of our churches are empty. But I can tell you right now, though the buildings are empty, the church is expanded like never before. And God has taken what has seemed to be an obstacle to use it as an opportunity to get the message out to more people. Because one thing that I know is that now the church is not in a building, but we are those temples right now. He no longer dwells in temples made with hands because he is risen. He's risen now. He indwells everyone who put their faith and trust in him. And so you can have a church right in your home, right in your living room, right in your kitchen, or right in your bedroom. Right now, your church is in your neighborhood. Many neighborhoods have multiple churches in it because if you are a follower of Christ, you represent the church and you're present there. Guess what? Now he's able to extend his reach. Again, happy Resurrection Sunday. If you're new to Encounter Life Church, this is your first time joining us, would you do me a favor? If you could take out your phone, just take out your cell phone and text the word NEW, N-E-W, to 301-804-2520. Text the word NEW. This is your first time. 301-804-2520. We want to get some stuff to you, and we're just glad that you could join us today. We pray God speaks to you. Our prayer is that as we go forward this morning, that the word of God come forward so powerfully that it brings about transformation. That's what we desire, to see lives transform and encounter life. Our vision that is everybody encounter God's presence, discover their purpose, and experience his power. Man, I'm excited today. I'm excited. But at the same time, it's a little inconvenience for a lot of us to be at home, to be separated. What we're doing, is because the reason we're home is because we're doing something called practicing social distancing. And as I thought about the social distancing, it kind of made me think about what Easter is all about. Again, a lot of times we like to get dressed up for Easter, put on our Sunday best, get our kids dressed, and go out as a family for Easter Sunday service. But we can kind of lose sight of the fact of what Easter is all about. And as I thought about this whole social distancing, God put on my heart to talk to from the topic empty, going from death to life. Because what Easter is all about is God coming, sending his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, him going from death to life so you and I could go from death to life. And the reason why Easter is so significant, you know, we can point out, we can kind of turn our attention to what we're dealing with this social distancing. Well, you say, what do you mean? What does social distancing and Easter have to do with with each other? And I thought about it and I said, man, look at this parallel. Right now, many of us are separated from friends, family, and loved ones because of this virus that we don't want to spread. And there's a distance between us all. And what I recognize is the longer that you're not in connection and relationship with people, man, it can take a toll on you. God designed you to be in relationship. God designed you. The Bible says he created you in his image. In his image. And why did he create in his image? And what does that mean? He designed us to be in relationship. He desires a relationship with you. He desires a relationship with every human being. And now, as we're practicing social distancing, it can cause a problem. It makes us feel some kind of way. And as you think about it, Easter is all about distance. What do you mean Easter is about distance? What Easter is about, the distance between me and God. The distance between you and God. That's what Easter is all about. We're going to go into that some more, but would you guys pray with me? We're going to look in a passage in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5, and then I'll flip over to Colossians chapter 3. But before we go further, I want to pray for us today. Is that okay? Bow with me. Dear God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this Resurrection Sunday where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord so that we can also go from death to life. And I pray, God, that today as the word goes forward, as we speak your word, then, Lord God, you will invade our space, that someone will hear your truth and their life be transformed. Not more information, no more notes, not anything just to take down, not more head knowledge, God. We want change. I pray you'll change your life today. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to talk about three things that I want to leave with you. Why Easter is significant. Easter is significant because of, number one, man's condition. Man's condition. Then the next thing, we're going to look at God's cure. And then finally, we're going to look at your personal choice. Man's condition, God's cure, and your personal choice. I said it just a few minutes ago. We're experiencing distance from one another. We're experiencing distance from people. But the reason why Easter is significant is because you and I had distance from God. We had a condition that brought us at distance from God. There's a condition going around the world right now, COVID-19, that's causing distance between people. But I'm telling you, there's a bigger condition. There's a greater condition that brought distance between you and God, between me and God. And that condition is called sin. Sin has separated us from God. Can we look in Romans chapter 5 really quick? I'm just going to read a little bit of this passage. Romans 5. It says, verse 1, therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Verse 6, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Man, I'm so glad that I'm a friend of God. What is Easter all about? Easter is all about, number one, man's condition. What is man's condition? Man's condition is we were helpless. We were helpless because of our sin. The Bible says God showed his love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. He says, well, while we were helpless, Christ died for us. Why is that significant? Our sin has separated us from God. What is the condition? You and I are sinners. What does that mean? Well, it simply means we've fallen short of God's standard. What is God's standard? His standard is perfection. The only way that you and I can be in relationship with God, the only way we can have connection with God is if we're perfect. I can tell you right now, that poses a problem for me, and I'm sure it poses a problem for you, because I'm not perfect and I know you're not perfect. There is no human being that's perfect, but this is the deal. We're not perfect, and our imperfection has created a divide between us and God. See, what God did, God loves you, and God made you to love you, and he wants a relationship with you so bad. But what he did in his love, he also gave you free will. Because love is not love. If I gotta force you to love me, that's not really love. I want you to love me because you want to. And what he did, he gave you a free will to choose him. And in our free will, though God loved us, in our free will, what we chose ourselves over God. And when we chose ourselves over God, that created a divide. That divide was sin that has separated us between you and God. So though you were made for relationship, you could tell you were created in his image, because right now you're sitting in your home and it's killing you to be separated from people. Because God said, you're like me. I designed you just like my nature, and my nature is made for relationship. You're made for relationship, a relationship with God, and sin has messed that up. You know, a couple of weeks ago, while we were social distancing, I decided to drive past my parents' house, see my mother and father. My kids in the back. I said, let's go see Mama and Papa. Let's drive through and see them, you know, because they can't come out. My dad's 80, almost 81. He'll be 81 this month. My mom's 77. And they, you know, their news is telling us that seniors, you definitely want to watch them. My dad has had a heart attack. My mom has had a breast cancer and has other things. So listen, we don't want to take anything into Mama and Papa, but we're going to beep our horn, go outside, and we're going to stand out, let them come out on the deck and talk to their grandkids. Well, we're out there and we're having a good time with our kids. And then my sister, she pulls up. And then her kids get out the car. And they all, and so I got three, she got three, and everybody's waving at each other. And my oldest son, he saw his cousins and he wanted to go hug them. But we said, no, you can't do it right now, because we're practicing what? Social distancing. And when we told him he could not hug his family, he couldn't hug his cousins, you know what he did? He went back in the car, because he wanted to embrace them so bad. He wanted to be close to them so bad and touch them so bad. And he couldn't get to them because of the social distance that it was eating him up inside. And I'm here to tell you that God, it kind of reminds me of the heart of my God. God said, I want them so bad. I want a relationship with them so bad. But there's this gulf, there's this distance between us. And that distance is because of the condition of sin. Later in this passage in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed on all men. And do you know that put an ache in the heart of God? Because God wants you so bad. He wants a relationship with you so bad. That picture was so clear as I saw my son weeping. He said, I want to hug him. This is making me upset. I want to do something about it. That condition is sin, and that sin has separated us from God. But I'm so glad I got some good news that the man's got a condition, but guess what? God's got a cure. God's got a cure. You know, the coronavirus, they tell us that the coronavirus, it may be 18 months before there's even a vaccine for this deal. Vaccine, I didn't say a cure, didn't say anything that can wipe it out or eradicate. A vaccine to try to help develop some immunity, some resistance to it. That's what a vaccine does. But God gives me even better than a vaccine. What God has for his condition, the condition of sin, he has a cure. My son was aching because of the distance, and there was nothing he can do about it. And the heart of God is, it was aching because of the distance between us and him, but he wanted us so bad. But guess what? He's God and he's sovereign. I told you last week, if you watched us last week, I said the king is here and he's sovereign. And because he's got all power, he can come up with a cure. And guess what? He did, because he wanted us so bad. Man has a condition. Second thing, we get up, God has a cure. And what is that cure? That cure is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The cure is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If you look out and look at our passage right now, it says right now, verse 9, and since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Aren't you? Listen, this is why we celebrated Good Friday earlier this week, a couple of days ago. We called it Good Friday. That's crazy. Good Friday. Why we call it good? We call it good because Jesus was beaten, he was bruised, and he was abused, and he died and shed his blood on Friday. You say, that sounds sadistic and crazy. How do you call a day good when somebody was brutally murdered? Because he was murdered, he was bruised, he was wounded for my transgressions and my sins and my iniquities, that God placed on Jesus Christ the sin of the world. Why, Pastor Dwayne? Why did he have to do it? He had to do it because God has established, and you look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, He says that everything, nearly everything, is clean by blood. And without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And so God established that the way all sin, the way your sin and my sin can be cured, can be atoned for, is it has to be blood of one like me. What do you mean? It's got to be the blood of one like me, but it's got to be one. He's like me, but he's unlike me. What do you mean? He's got to be man, but he's got to be perfect. So because God has established that blood must be shed to cover for my sin, there's got to be one who says, I'm going to take the sacrifice for everybody's sin. Because by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, therefore death passed on all of us. And it said, one man brought sin, but it had to be one man to be able to take care of the sin. And God said, there is no man. There is no man perfect. So what I'm going to do, because I'm God by myself and I don't need anybody's help, I'm going to become man. So what God did, God said, he put on flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We call him Emmanuel, Jesus the Christ. God put on flesh. He stepped out of eternity into time. Why? Because he's all powerful and he can do that. He stepped out of eternity into time. Why? Because he's like my son. His heart was aching for the relationship back. He wanted his children back. He wanted us back. He wanted to connect with us so bad. And the only way that could happen is there had to be a sacrifice made, and no man can do it. So he said, I will provide the cure. He will provide for himself a lamb. Now behold the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ was the lamb slain. He was the lamb killed before the foundation of the world. And he came just for you. Than just a nice suit. Easter is more than just a nice dress. Easter is the day we celebrate the Lamb came. He died to pay for your sin, but he rose to make you right with God. There is a cure for the condition. Corona doesn't have a cure right now, but I'm going to tell you, your sin condition has a cure. You can be made right with God through the Lamb, through the blood of Jesus Christ. God made him who knew no sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, he knew no sin. He made him who knew no sin to be made sin for me. He took on and became sin for me so that I might become the righteousness of God. Y'all, that's why Easter is big. God took on flesh, came to this earth. He went through everything that you go through, was tempted in every point like you are. He goes through the struggles like that you had to go through, but he didn't sin. Why? Because he saw you. His heart was aching like my son's heart was aching for a relationship. He saw getting his children back so bad, restoring us to relationship. He didn't sin so he could qualify to be your sacrifice. So man's condition is that we are separated from God because of our sin. But God's cure is that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to shed his blood just for you. But guess what? A cure is only good if you take it. A cure is only good if you take it. So the last thing is you, me, all of us individually have a choice to make. We have a condition. Sin has separated us from God. God has provided the cure in Jesus Christ. He came, he lived, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. But you got to make a choice. What is the choice? You got to make the choice to invite him to come into your life. You got to make the choice to say, listen, I accept the sacrifice of Christ for the forgiveness of my sins so that I can be restored into relationship with you, God. Do you accept the cure? You know, I'm a doctor. Many of you know that I write prescriptions all the time. And I give people instructions. People coming to me, Dr. McKinney, what is it? You know, I got this pain. I got this problem. And I'm going to say, I'm going to write you this prescription. I'm going to give you these stretching exercises. I'm going to give you these things that I want you to do. And come back and see me in 2 to 3 weeks and let me see if it's better. And I'm going to tell you, invariably, I have someone who will come back and say, oh, my goodness, Dr. McKinney, it's hurting worse than it was. My foot is aching. I'm a podiatrist. My foot is aching. It's hurting worse. And so I'll ask you, how did you take the medicine? Well, I didn't take it every day. I took it, you know, once every, you know, a couple times a week. How about the stretches? Can you give me another one of them stretching forms? Oh, did you get the x-ray? Oh, I lost my referral. But man, can you do something about this pain? And I say, hold up, wait a minute. We gave you something to do something for the pain, but you didn't take it. See, a cure is only good if you accept it. A cure is only good if you accept it. And so this is the deal. You got a choice to make. God has provided you a cure, but the question is today, will you receive it? Will you accept it? How do you accept the cure? Number one, you got to admit to God. You got to tell God, listen, I admit that I'm separated from you because of my sins. I admit that I've fallen short of your standard. God, your standard is perfection and I'm not perfect. Then you must believe that he provided the cure. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the cure. You got to tell God, I believe you sent your son Jesus Christ to die for me, that he was buried and that he rose again. I believe that he was rose to justify me, to make me right with God. And then you have to make the choice to invite him. You have to confess, say, God, I come to invite you into my life, forgive you of all my sins, and make me who you want me to be. Only then, that's when you've accepted the cure. When you say, God, I'm no longer depending on my good deeds. I'm no longer going to lean on me trying to get my good to outweigh my bad. But right now, I'm going to immerse my heart in your unmerited favor. I'm going to surrender my life to your unconditional love. God, I recognize the magnitude of your power, and I give my life over to you. Forgive me of my sins. I accept the sacrifice of Christ to make me right with God. Only then have you received the cure and can you be healed of your separation this caused by sin. That is the cure. And when you do that, then you can move from death to life. That's how you do it, y'all. My question is, are you ready? Because the tomb is empty, you can move from death to life, eternal death. Bible says that by one man, sin entered in, and then death by sin. So death passed on all of us. Death means to be separated. That death is on all of us. We're born dying. We're born separated from God. Will you accept the sacrifice that Christ has made for you? It's simple. Like I said, ABC. Admit to God that you have not, that you've fallen short. Believe that Jesus Christ was the solution for your sin, and make the choice to invite him into your life to forgive you of your sins and make you who he wants you to be. It's that simple. Once you make that choice to invite him into your life, then you can have eternal life and you'll never perish. I was reading verse 10, verse 9. He says that in Romans 5, since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Verse 10, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, he died for us. We will certainly be saved through the life of his son. That's it. The life, the resurrection. We'll be saved and restored to relationship with God through the life of his son, Jesus Christ. God wants relationship with you. Just like my son wanted to get back in connection with his cousins and wanted to embrace them and wanted to love on them. And the distance was causing his heart to ache. God says, listen, my heart aches because of the distance from you. Won't you return to me today? If you want to make that decision to return to him today, you can. I want you to just say this with me. Say this with me. If you want to make that decision to accept Christ as Lord of your life, have him forgive you of all your sins. He took all your sins on his back to forgive you of your sins and make you new, give you a clean slate. And what he'll do, every sin that you've ever committed, he'll wipe it clean. Every sin that you ever will commit, guess what? He's taking care of it. All you got to do today is say, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. He was buried, and I believe he rose again. And today I invite you into my life. Forgive me of my sins and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If you said that, if that prayer expressed what you want God to do in your life, guess what? He said, I'll give you eternal life and you'll never perish. And because he's risen, you will rise too. You'll never have to experience death. My mom always says it. He'll make you clean. He'll make you right. And he'll give you his life. Now, what God says, when I leave this earth, when I go to him or he comes to me to come get me, he says, now when he looks at me, he no longer sees me, but he sees his son. He sees the blood of his son on the doorpost of my heart because I accepted the cure. Because I accepted the cure, now guess what? Death can pass over me and I can move from death to life because the tomb is empty. If you prayed that prayer, congratulations. We want to hear about it. I want you to text the word next to 301-804-2520. This next, N-E-X-T, to 301-804-2520. Or you can call that number if you want prayer and somebody to encourage you in what to do next. And since you've committed your life to Christ, I want you to call that number at the bottom of your screen. That number, enter that access code. Someone will be there to pray with you over the next couple of hours if you could do that. Amen. Listen, I want to close with this. I want to close because there's somebody else there watching me who says, Pastor Wayne, I've already made that decision. I've moved from death to life. Well, if you're alive, there ought to be certain characteristics that signify somebody who's alive. If you pinch me, I'm going to scream. Why? Because I'm alive. I know I'm alive. And so if you're alive, there's certain things that ought to characterize people who are alive. And if you've made Christ as Lord, why are you excited about the resurrection? Because the tomb is empty and I've made a choice to accept the cure. Now you're alive. I want you to say alive. Look at somebody in your living room and say, I'm alive. Look at somebody in your kitchen right now and say, I'm alive. How do you spell alive? A-L-I-V-E. Because you're alive, the Bible said, listen, because you're alive, you know what you ought to do? A, you ought to anticipate heaven. I want you to start anticipating heaven. Colossians, the book of Colossians chapter 3 says, since you've been risen with Christ, set your mind, set your heart on things above. Set your sights on the realities of heaven because you are risen with Christ. If you're alive, you know what? Anticipate heaven every day. Look forward that this might be the day he comes for me or I can go back to him. And because of that, I'm going to live a certain way. I'm going to live right. I'm going to walk in a way that brings honor to him because I'm anticipating heaven. Live this life in preparation for the next one. The L in alive stands for loosen your grip. Well, you got to loosen your grip on the things of this life. Why do I have my phone in my hand? Because listen, if I'm holding on to this phone, and you walk up to me and says, Pastor Dwayne, I got something I want to give you. I got something that I'm trying to give to you, but only way I'm going to give it to you is if you let go of this phone. Until you let go of that phone, I can't give you what I want to give you. And I say, what is it you want to give me? I got a $2,000 check I want to give to you. Well, I need you to let go of that phone so I can give you this $2,000. You know what I'm going to do? I'm about to drop that phone and say, come on, put it on me. But there's sometimes, you know what? This phone represents the things of this world. And the Bible in 1 John chapter 2 says, love not the world or the things in it. Okay, for anyone loves the world, the love of the Father can't be in them. A sign of somebody who's alive is we live life with a loose grip. You got to be willing to let go, relinquish the things of this world. That's what it says in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, he says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of this earth. Matthew chapter 6 says, listen, don't lay up for yourself treasures here where moth and dust destroy. Look at it. What we're going right now. Some of us have laid our grip on the things of this life, and now the coronavirus is taking stuff of that way away. I heard one statistic say 50% of all businesses might crash. Man, if you got your grip tight on things of this life, you are going to be thoroughly disappointed. But what you need to do, a person who is alive, though the stock market crashes, guess what? I can still smile. Though all of my earthly possessions may go away, it may not feel good, but I know, guess what? I got a loose grip on things of this life. My treasure has been laid up somewhere else. An alive person anticipates heaven. An alive person has a loose grip on things in this life. And so there's nothing wrong with having them, but don't hold on to them tighter than you hold on your relationship with God. An alive person, has intimacy with God. What God has done now, he's made a way that you can, because now you got peace with God, you can get access to his throne. You can go boldly before his throne. I started at the beginning and said, because the tomb is empty, I can go right boldly to the throne and tell him my hurts and ask for his help and know that he hears me. Do you know you can have an intimate relationship with God? In Philippians, Paul says, listen, I count everything loss for the sheer pleasure of knowing Christ. He said, I want to know him. I want to be intimate with him. The power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of knowing, of sharing in his suffering. You, a person who's alive, walks in intimacy with God. My question is, how's your intimacy with God? And if it's lacking, it ain't because God is gone anywhere. If I'm alive, you know what? I need to take advantage of my access. because he's risen, I got access. So use your access. Walk in intimacy with God. An alive person anticipates heaven. We have a loose grip on things of this life. Intimacy with God is characterizes our life. And the next thing, guess what? We got victory over sin. We got victory over sin. That's what he said. Listen, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, thank me, we got victory over sin and death. You got victory today, y'all. There's no condemnation. They said, the Bible says, the law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free, has given you victory over sin, over the law of sin and death. Do you know a person who's alive is walking in victory over sin? I want to encourage you today, whatever it is in your life that seems like it's got a stronghold on you, God's giving you victory. He's giving you victory. That same power that raised Jesus up from the grave, that same power is resident in you, and you can walk in victory over sin in your life. If you have moved from death to life, if now you've got a relationship with God, anticipate heaven, loosen your grip on the things of this world. Intimacy with God is a must in your life. Walk in victory over, you've got victory over sin, y'all. You got victory over sin in your life, and you got victory over some situation. God has given you, you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you. Nothing can separate you from his love. You can walk in victory. And the final thing, that final E is this. Guess what? I want you can enjoy and experience joy and peace in your relationship with God. Why is that important? Because in this world, you're going to have some tough times. You're going to have some rough situations. And the Bible right here, it says verse 3 in our passage earlier from Romans chapter 5, it says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us his Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Man, what you can want, you can experience peace and you can experience joy in your walk with God. The passage goes on to say towards the end of Romans chapter 5 in Colossians in chapter 3, he talks about experiencing the peace that Christ provides. You can have peace when your world is falling to pieces. You can have peace when your world is falling to pieces. Why? Because I know he's risen. He's in control. He loves me, and he promised me in Romans 8 that he's going to work everything out for my good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And you can have joy. Why can you have joy? Because joy is not tied into circumstances. Joy is tied into the person. And who's that person? It's the one who's risen. Because he's alive and he loves me, because God is working. You saw what it says. I can have joy because those trials, those rough times that are bringing into my life, he's working something. He's building endurance and he's building character. And he's building these things into my life, building hope in me. That's why today, walk alive. If you are alive, if you've been risen with Christ, then look, have the characteristics of being alive. Anticipate heaven. Loosen your grip on the things of this world. Intimacy with God is a must. You got victory over sin and death, and you can experience his joy and his peace. Man, if you want to experience his joy and peace, if you're today and say, Pastor Dwayne, listen, that's me. I know I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a Christ follower, but I haven't been experiencing joy and peace. This whole virus thing has got my whole world shaken up. I want to recommit my life. I want to recommit my life to have a heavenly perspective. I want to ask God to forgive me for having too tight of a grip on this world and not enough of a grip of intimacy with him. I haven't been walking in victory over sin. I've been giving in. I know even though he's given me victory, I've been surrendering. And you haven't been experiencing that joy and peace. And you say, God, I want to recommit my life to you. I just want you to say, dear God, I'm coming home. Dear God, I'm coming home. Forgive me, God, for when I've fallen short. Forgive me, God, for trying to do things on my own. I want to recommit my life to you. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit so that I can obey you and walk with you. Thank you for being patient with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer of recommitment, we want to know about that. If you want prayer or encouragement or accountability, again, someone will be there to pray with you. Just call the number at the bottom of the screen that's there today. and someone will be there to pray with you. Or you can also text the word next. We can send you some links to encourage you every day and help keep you accountable. Amen. Listen, text the word next to 301-804-2520 if you also prayed that prayer of recommitment. I'm so glad that you joined us at Encounter Life today. The church is still open. The building might be closed, but the church is open, and we're open for business. What kind of business? Kingdom business. Building his kingdom. That's what we want to do. Exalt his presence, enlarge his kingdom, equip his people, and express his love as we engage the culture. And as we try to engage this culture, listen, we need resources to do that. And at this time, we're not in the church building where we can get those resources the traditional way. But listen, if you could go online and give today, we want to see God's work continue. So you can go right on to encounterchurch.net. Encounterchurch.net and go to the giving tab. You can give right there online. You can also give through text with the Givelify app. You text the word give to 301-804-2520 and it'll send you a link to Givelify. Or you can just send it snail mail. Some of you say, look, I just want to mail it in. I'm not into all that technology. Our address is 2200 Culberra Drive, C-U-L-B-E-R-A Drive, Temple Hills, Maryland, 20748. You can mail it right in there. Or finally, you can use Cash App. Use the $Encounter Life. $Encounter Life. You can send it right via Cash App, right to our Cash App. And so we're excited. We want to see God do some great stuff, guys. For our close, if you got kids, it is Easter Sunday. We may not have a traditional Easter egg hunt, but our children's church is putting together an Easter egg roll. Easter egg hunt today is going to be virtual. So join our children's church. If you go to our Facebook page or our Encounter Life Facebook group, you'll find the link to children's church there. And you can have your kids log in and enjoy a wonderful time of children's church. We pray you come back and be with us next week. If you want to meet us on noonday, every day at noon, Monday through Friday, we have prayer at noon where we lifting up one another throughout the body of Christ, or anybody. If you're in need of prayer and want some encouragement, join us at noon at noonday prayer. If you want to find out about the noonday prayer, just text the letters ELC to 301-804-2520. If you text ELC to 301-804-2520, we can send you the links about when prayer is and how to log on for prayer. Thanks for joining us today at Encounter Life. Hey, we want you to encounter God's presence, discover your purpose, and experience his power. And I want to let you know, guess what, y'all? He's risen. The tomb is empty, and because the tomb is empty, you can have hope, you can have power, you can have joy, and you can know that you will live forever. God bless you. Love you. Have a wonderful resurrection day.